Okay, it's an amazing schuss to be here together. First of all, as always, I want to thank the Shriers for opening up their bias and having all of us on Matzah Shabbos Kodesh. Especially after Shabbos. Sometimes after Shabbos it's so busy and beautiful, but a lot of people want to just chill and have a quiet house. And to have an open house to all of us to learn Torah together is something very special. And to be this schuss for the entire Mishpacha. It's amazing chizuk on a personal to see everybody here. You know, after Shabbos, I was cheshbening whether I should reach out to Sarit or to Eliza to see if our shir is still on tonight after all the snow today. Even though, obviously, Baruch Hashem, the streets were clean and it wasn't such a big deal. But lemaisa, people get scared and sometimes parents get scared. And always, and to see so many turn out to learn Torah together in the weather that is, on a personal, it's a big chizuk for me, so thank you. What a Heilige night to prepare for the Heilige Yantav, the Lichtige Yantav that's coming upon our way in just a few days. That really, in a sense, the Kedusha is in the air already. Chanukah is not till Tuesday night, Chaf Hei Kislev. Just a few days away, we're very excited. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed and made holy the seventh day, and all the Mefarshim explain, and we've said it over before. All Bracha and Kedusha of an upcoming week comes from the Shabbos beforehand. So we just finished Shabbos Kodesh, now it's Matzei Shabbos. Matzei Shabbos is when you pull Shabbos into the week. Matzei Shabbos is really, if we really deeply understand Shabbos and the week, Matzei Shabbos perhaps is the holiest time of the week. Because Matzei Shabbos is when you have the opportunity to literally pull the Kedusha of Shabbos into the mundane week and show that all that you've achieved on Shabbos is going to stay with you. And if this Shabbos carried all the Kedusha and Bracha and Ruchnius of this upcoming week with that Chanukah, so we're pulling all that into the week right now. Right now, we're being Nimshach. We're pulling the Kedusha of Chanukah into the week. So it's a very special time to be together and to prepare for Chanukah and to learn about Chanukah. Emes, over the last half hour, was sitting at my desk trying to figure out, because it's so special, what should we talk about? What should we learn about? I've been preparing for Chanukah really since Rosh Chodesh Kislev in ways and learning and so much I wanted to give over. And I wrote up a few shirim. I was trying to cheshbon which one to give. And I wish we could give them all. Maybe we just stay here and learn. All right, Bezeh Hashem. The Heilige Magid of Trisk. So one night he was about to light his menorah and he turned to his chassidim and he said the following. He said, if you have a couple, a man and a wife, and sometimes you have this where the wife is much shorter than the husband. Once in a while you have the opposite as well, but that's very rare, right? But sometimes you have this where the wife is much shorter than the husband. So let's say the husband wants to talk to his wife in a very meaningful way, a deep way, a touching way. So how are they going to connect? They have to talk panim al panim. They have to talk face to face. So what are you going to do? Is the wife going to get up on a chair to speak to the husband? Or is the husband going to bow down and get closer and be on the level with his wife, with his eshes chayil? And he said that to his chassidim. And that's all. He just asked the question and he went to light Chanukah licht. He made brachas and he lit the Chanukah menorah. His brother-in-law, the Chernobyl Rebbe, or maybe it was his nephew, it was Ben Achos, it was the son of his daughter, son of his sister, it was his nephew. His nephew, the Chernobyl Rebbe. So he explained afterwards what the Magid of Trisk was talking about. He says what he was telling each and every one of us was the following. You know, the menorah, as we're going to learn about in a few moments, there's very specific places where it's supposed to be. And in the best of ways, l'chachila, in the best of ways, it's supposed to be l'mata miyud tfachim, lower than 10 tfachim. Now that's pretty low. A lot of us put it above 10 tfachim because our windowsills, which we're going to learn about in a few moments, our windowsills to have the most persume nisa are above 10 tfachim. 10 tfachim is probably a little under 40 inches, maybe a little around 3 feet high. So that's more proper to gain the parsumenisa. But if you can, And definitely those who light the menorahs outside, for example, like in Eretz Yisrael, which we're going to learn about and talk about all this in a few moments, should be pachos meyud tvachim, lower than 10 tvachim. Should really be between 3 and 10 tvachim. That's where the menorah is supposed to be. L'chadchila. B'di'evet yoyotze if it's all the way higher up to 20 amos, which is like 36 feet. You're still yotze, up to 20 amos. But the best place is below 10 tvachim. And above 3 tvachim. Above 3 tvachim, so it's not... Within 3 tvachim, it's like it's sitting on the ground already. Which is a bizayin to the mitzvah, plus it looks like you didn't put it there on purpose, it just happened to be sitting there. Because within 3, there's a din lavud, it's like it's connected to the ground. Below 10 tvachim, so the Chernobyl Rebbe was said as follows, is to teach us, and all the svarim explain, a very deep, beautiful lesson. The ikkar reason is because if it's higher than that, then it might appear that it was just placed there for illumination. Right? Look in this room right now, we have a lot of lights on. Baruch Hashem, all the lights are high up in the air. When you want to illuminate a room, you're illuminating from a higher position. By putting it lower than 10 tvachim, you see it's done l'shei mitzvah. It wasn't meant for illumination. As the halach is, we're not allowed to benefit from the lights of the menorah. So it should be lower than 10 tvachim. But on a deeper level, we learn from it being lower than 10 tvachim, that generally, if you look in Chazal, Hashem is not lower than 10 tvachim. However, comes Chanukah, Kadosh Baruch Hu is entering even lower than 10 tefachim, which is to teach us even the lowest of places that we fall. Wherever we are, on Chanukah, the light of the menorah could lift us up. The light of the yantav could lift us up. Wherever we've fallen throughout the year, it could be a eschazkus, an inspiration, a soris, to stir us up. Wherever we are, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to come down to us. He's going to come down even below 10 tefachim. And the Chernobyl Rebbe said, that's what the Maggid of Trisk was saying. Obviously, what's the answer to the question? You ever see any women get up on a chair to talk to their husbands? Probably not. Obviously, the husband's going to bow down to his wife. The husband should always be bowing down to his wife. That's a whole other story for another time. I'm Maven Yavin, which we all understand. I was with the chassan today in the midst of the Shavuot Brachos. And someone, we were talking, a very close talmid of mine, Ben Zion Rafal Hammer. And we were talking. Someone came over. Oh, you still have a din melech. You're still a king. She said, I hope I have a din malchus for the whole year. Shana Rishona, maybe. So first of all, I told him, you should be a melech your whole life. And that's all another Torah that I gave over to him and his Eishes Chayil a little bit ago. But then I said to him, I looked at him, I said, way more important than you being a melech is you treating your wife like a malka her whole life. Bezda Hashem is Baruch. So really, every husband has to know they always should be bowing down. That's not even a question. But l'maisa, obviously, if you're going to talk to your wife and you want to talk in an intimate way and in a special way, you're going to lower yourself to your wife if she's shorter than you. And that's what the Trisker Magid was saying. Just like a husband's going to lower himself to his wife, so to the Rebbeinu Shalom right now is lowering himself to us. He's coming pachos miyud. And we have to feel that. We have to appreciate that. And that's the Koach of Chanukah, Balein HaToiva, that's coming our way. That even those of us that may have, during the year and at times in our lives, feel like we're not living up to who we want to be. We don't feel the closeness and how we once were. It's a time of enlightenment. A time of Ischazkus. It's an incredible opportunity. Baz Hashem, that will last the entire year. From one Chanukah to the next. Said over the other night, but I don't know if any of you listened to that shir because it was all about Amelus Batira. But Lemaisa said over the other night, there's a famous story of Shlomo of Karlin. It's said in a few different ways. We'll just get to the punchline of how one night he lit his menorah, and somehow the menorah was very close to the wall, and it left like a lot of smoke stains on the wall. It could be dangerous. You have to make sure your menorah is not too close to the wall. That's all another. Mamash, you have to be safe. It's important when you light the menorah to make sure that there's nothing in the way, nothing close. And the window shades, obviously. You have to be very careful about these things. But it left like this stain, a black stain on his wall. So right after Chanukah, someone in his mishpacha was going and was about to clean it off. And he stopped me, he said, stop! I want that roishim, I want that imprint, I want to see the stain of the menorah all year long. I need that chizik. It should last, it should be lingering the whole year. Be'ez Hashem, Chanukah is going to be this ischazkus where the Ribbono Shel Olam lifts us up, and we're going to have it all year long. So let's learn a little bit about this yantiv. So where's the menorah? Where do we play? We just said where the menorah is supposed to be placed in height is really between 3 and 10 tvachim. Again, as long as it's lower than 20 amos, you're yotzei. Lower 20 amos means from the floor of the house where you are. If you're in an apartment building in the Chesed on the fifth floor, it doesn't mean you can't light the menorah. Where are you supposed to put it? That's a whole other Torah I won't get into right now. So where's the menorah supposed to be? Where are we supposed to place the menorah? Really, if you see in halacha, and you go through the Gemaras, and you go through the Shulchan Aruch, it seems to be the most proper place should be really to light our menorahs outside. We should all be lighting our menorahs outside. And those of us who've been, I'm sure, I think everybody in this room, I'm sure, has spent Chanukah in Eretz Yisrael. When you had the schus to be in seminary for the year, you spent Chanukah in Eretz Yisrael, and you walked around the streets of Yerushalayim, or wherever you were, and what did you see? Mamish, the menorah is shining bright throughout all the alleyways and all the streets. And all, how beautiful. Is there anything like that? Mamish, what you'd give? No, what we'd all give to be Chanukah in Yerushalayim, just to walk the streets one night? Mirtz Hashem will be there. Bez Hashem will all be there. Anyone going to be there even for Nazareth Mashiach? Send us pictures, put on the something. Okay, we'll try to get a picture of Hashem. Just to see, Mamish, it's incredible. You might feel it, right? And that's the way it's supposed to be. And Lamaisa, that's not Eretz Yisrael, Dika Halacha. It's supposed to be that way here as well. So why do most of us not? So Emes is all the halachic reasons, none of them are so great. Some bring down because it's very cold and therefore impractical. Lamaisa, is it really so cold here? Maybe Chesnes, maybe if you're in Russia, in Czechoslovakia, maybe in Eastern Europe during the years and those times when the Yidden were there. I mean, there are still Yidden there, but here in America, even though it's winter, is it really too cold to be outside for a few minutes to light the menorah? Like, we just came here now. I'm sure some of us over Shabbos took some walks outside. We walked to shul where we were freezing cold, where we were not able to be. We were okay. Okay, Chesnes, get yourself a fur coat and you'll be all right, whatever it might be. Meaning, Lemaisa, it's not so bad. This is cold, right? Our grandparents would make fun of us, telling us the stories. This is, you don't know what cold is. We don't know, this is not cold. So first of all, it's not so cold. So say it's too cold. As far as being too windy, so we have beautiful, they make beautiful glass cases that you can put the menorah in with little air holes on top. You have no problem about that. So others explain we're afraid of ganavim. We're afraid of thieves. Okay, that could still be bezman hazeh, I hear that. Lemaisa, but maybe then it's better, okay, if you're putting one of your beautiful silver menorahs, which a lot of our fathers maybe have, so vada would be afraid of a thief, I understand. But maybe better, if the ikar place to put the menorah is outside, so maybe better to put a inexpensive menorah outside than the hidden mitzvah of the menorah being silver. If that's the proper place. So don't have a silver menorah. What are the other reasons? Also brought down Shas HaShema. There were times of persecution. There are times of persecution where we couldn't light the menorah outside and we had to light inside. Baruch Hashem, look this past week of the President of the United States and the announcement he had in the country that we live in. And that Karsa Tov we have to have for that. That we live in a makom where although we're still in Gullus very much so, we can't forget, in the spiritual Gullus very much so, we're surrounded by immorality and temptations and people that don't have the same outlook of life that we have in a country that doesn't, as far as spiritually, as far as Ruchnius, we're very much in Gullus. As far as physical Gashmiistic, physical Gullus, we have been, Baruch Hashem, here we live in the Five Towns, we have in Cedars Park, every night, Mamash, a massive menorah lit, proudly. It's amazing. Baruch Hashem, it's incredible. We have to be thankful for this. It'll be a problem to light the menorah outside here in the Five Towns because of persecution. Baruch Hashem not, right? We're not afraid. Anyone's afraid here to walk around with a yarmulke, to walk around with looking like a yid, acting like a yid. Be more embarrassed not to look like a yid here. So the ma'aseh, as far as, now there are those who explain, once we had takanos of Shas HaShema, it stays, which is halacha, like by shofar blowing, by the way. It used to be we're supposed to blow shofar as reason makdim lemitzvos in the morning by shachris. But there was Shas HaShemad, so they had to change because the goyim were persecuting us when we blow the shofar, so we had to change and blow the shofar instead by musaf, so they wouldn't know when they were blowing. And that's, we kept that takana. We kept that takana to blow by musaf. I'm sure a lot of you are thankful for that, right? Because if it was by shachris, you'd have to get there a lot earlier, right? Baruch Hashem. Okay. Baruch Hashem, we're beautiful, the nice Torah here. We're thinking, what are you talking about? I'm there before the men are there. But Lemaisa, that's why shofar blowing by Musaf. So maybe that has to stay when we have takanas like this, because of sakana. But that doesn't make so much sense, because then we wouldn't be putting it in our front window either. I'm pretty sure by Shas HaShemad, when there's religious persecution, they're not just moving the menorahs inside, they're also not putting it in their front windows. They're putting it deep inside the house where it can't be seen. And by the way, many for sure, Hasidim Bizman Hazat still do it like that. But the Hasidim, where they always keep Mesorah and tradition, they don't light, not only do they not light outside, they don't light in their front window, they light inside their house. Because of Shas HaShemad. Which makes somewhat sense, maybe that, but most of us in this room don't light like that. I remember my wife, her father grew up Hasidish. My wife didn't grow up Hasidish, although Hasidish alev, definitely, but not necessarily Hasidish. I'm even young, I mean, she went to Flatbush, right? So, but I remember the first Chanukah was by my wife's house for Chanukah licht, whatever it was, and I see my father-in-law pulls out a menorah and he lights it like in the kitchen, inside on the table. I don't know what's going on. What are you like? What are you marrying into a conservative family over here? What's going on? What are they doing, you know? This is Hasidish Minhagim. He grew up Hasidish, and by the Hasidim, that's how they light, because of Shas HaShemad. L'maisa, but we're not in Shas HaShemad, and we're not lighting inside like this. So really, by the way, the most proper way should be to light outside. It's not so pashut. Again, this is our minhag to light by the window, and that's fine. It's beautiful. By my house, we light one menorah outside every night. That's what it seems the proper halacha is going to be, to light outside. We light by the window. That's the minhag. You're definitely yoytze. Don't worry. You don't have to. Everyone's yoytze. The mitzvah. And by the way, let's not forget. By the way, the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah is a mitzvah for each and every one of you, just like it's for every single man. The mitzvah of Neres Chanukah is for women just as much as men. If you're not home for a night, you're living in your dorms. I don't know what we spoke about this other night when I spoke in Stern. I didn't get anyone to answer. I didn't really ask. I just brought it up. I don't know what they do over there, but you're living in Stern, or you're living in an apartment somewhere, wherever it might be, and you're not home with your father, 100% you have a chiv to light a menorah. You have a chiv to light a menorah. It's not a question. Not if you're home, most women don't light, based on ishto kagufo, and your yose through your father. L'maisa, l'halach, only one person needs to light anyways. We light more people as mahadrim in a mahadrim. But definitely, if you're not home for a night, you have a chiv to light a menorah. You have a chiyuv to light a menorah, just like a man. And women, you could even light for the men. But we know a halakhic problem with that. If your mother one night lights, your father's not home, and she lights on behalf of, your father wouldn't even have to light when he got home. He does because mahadrim and mahadrim, to beautify the mitzvah. But you could light on behalf of your brothers and your father. The mitzvah is for men and women alike. Afein ha'yubosa anes, you were involved in the miracle, whether it means you were saved together with us. I mean, the men and women were both saved from the Yavanim, or that you played a crucial role like Yehudas did in defeating the Yavanim. This is a mitzvah for women as much as a mitzvah for men. Don't forget that. L'maisa. So it's L'maisa, the placement of that menorah. So whether it's outside, whether it's inside. So if we do it inside by the window, and that's Persumenisa, that's publicizing the miracle. But if you would light it outside, or if you'd light it in your doorway because you don't have a window to a public area. So the Gemara says there's also a specific place where you're supposed to place the menorah. You're supposed to place the menorah very close to your doorway on the opposite side of the mezuzah. Meaning as you walk in the house, when you walk in your house, so your mezuzah is on your right side. Your mezuzah is b'yamin. So where's the menorah supposed to be? On the left side, on the small, right by the doorway, right there, right opposite the mezuzah. And as you walk in your house, therefore, your mamish, you're surrounded by mitzvahs. You have your mezuzah on your right, you have your menorah on the left. That's what the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, tells us. So we're walking into our house, and we're immediately bumping into a mezuzah and a menorah. It's beautiful. Incredible. But seemingly there has to be a deeper message between this mezuzah and this menorah. The connection between a mezuzah and menorah. As the Gemara specifically says, they're placed opposite each other. Therefore, there has to be a kesher between the mezuzah and menorah. So I want to read the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah and the Rambam in Hilchos Menorah. And you'll see something incredible. And I'm going to tell you, the Rambam doesn't usually speak like this. I don't know how many of you have learned too much Rambam in your life. You'll trust me on it, okay? You go through. In Hilchos Mezuzah, which, by the way, incredibly, is Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Gimel. Anyone get why that's so incredible yet? Perek Vav Halacha Yud Gimel 6:13. Talacha 6:13. Perek Vav 6, the 6th Perek. Halacha Yud Gimel in the 6th Perek. Because mezuzah is so deep and so special, which we're going to learn about in a minute. We tend to not place too much emphasis. We all have mezuzahs up. But because they're so common and so... We're desensitized by mezuzah, as if it's not so important, so crucial, and so... Listen to the lashon of the Rambam, Hilchos Mezuzah. Chayiv Adam, every person is obligated, lehizoher b'mezuzah, to be careful by mezuzah, shichovas hakol tamid. It's an obligation on everyone always, to have a mezuzah up on your doorways. Listen to the lashon. You have to lehizoher. But the Rambam very rarely uses that language. You have to be careful, lehizoher by mitzvah, by mezuzah. Every time you walk in or out of your home, yivke, you're touching, you're bumping into, beyichad Hashem Shemosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're bumping into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His name, who He is, His oneness. The mezuzah is supposed to remind you of that. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that's what's in your mezuzah, right? Veyizker, and then you remember Havaso, His love for you. V'yoyer mishnaso, and it awakens you from your spiritual slumber. V'shgiyosav behevle asman, how much time we've spent in futile, meaningless activities. V'yeda, and you know, she'ein davro mid lo'olam olamei alamim, ella, there's nothing that stands from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, ella yediyas tzur ha'olam, knowing that He's the rock of the world. U'miyadu chozer l'dayto, v'holich v'dach g'sharim. Immediately you're going to think about all of this, and you're going to go and do everything in a straight way. Does anybody think about that when they see a mezuzah? Imagine what the Rambam just said, how we're supposed to be thinking every time we see the mezuzah. You ever see how a Sephardish woman walks by a mezuzah? Like, I'm talking about like an older Sephardi woman, an Israeli Sephardi woman. Mamash, I've seen this, I'm sure some of you have seen this. So they walk into a bias, takes them like literally 3-4 minutes till they get into the house. They go to a mezuzah, they're kissing it about 6,000 times. Kavana, it's like, they get it. The mezuzah is supposed to be, we look at the mezuzah, we remember Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, Hashem is everything in this world. It's not just something to put up on our doorway. It's shmira, protection. It's a reminder to us. It's a constant reminder to think about oneness of Hashem, to think about Hashem. How many of us need this reminder? You don't have to raise your hands. I need the reminder. We need, meaning l'maisa, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, we're living religious lifestyles. When I say religious lifestyles, Baruch Hashem, we're keeping Torah mitzvahs. Everybody in this room kept Shabbos to Shabbos. No one was nichshol on Shabbos. No one is on a nekudas, has a bechir point where they're cheshbening whether they would have turned on a light this Shabbos. Not even, we're way past that. There's nothing, right? Kashrus, of course, I would never think about eating something that's not kosher. Chas v'sholom lo aleinu. We're oivdei Torah mitzvahs, we're shomrei Torah mitzvahs. Every single one of us. We make our brachos when we eat. We make our brachos after we eat. We dress b'tznua. But let me ask you another question. How much do we think about Hashem in our lives? Today was Shabbos Kodesh. It wasn't just Tam day. Today was Shabbos Kodesh. Holiest day of the year. Not of the week, of the year. No other day of the year do we read 7 Aliyahs. Kodesh, Shabbos, Kodesh. How many times today did I think about Hashem? Did I think about Hashem in my life? Was I thinking about the oneness of Hashem, all that Hashem does for me? I think it's of the single biggest issues in Yiddishkeit today. And there are a lot of reasons for it. But how often are we thinking about Hashem? I was recently dealing in our high school in DRS, we're talking about having tefillah initiatives, how to work on tefillah. We decided, so the one decision we had, which is a beautiful thing, every shir is going to take a particular bracha in Shmon Esrei and learn about that bracha and learn the Pirush HaMilim on the bracha and the amkus, the depth of the bracha, and then present it to all the other shir. Beautiful, wonderful. I think it's great. Same time, talking to one of the administrators, and I said to him, I love it, it's beautiful, it's great. I don't think it's going to do much to tefillah. Yes, Pirush HaMilim does help, don't get me wrong. But there's a deeper issue. a much deeper issue. And the deeper issue is that we're not feeling Hashem in our lives enough. We don't feel Hashem by our side enough. So a guy's not going to daven and not davening seriously, because who's he davening to? Someone he doesn't think about ever. Hashem has to be more in our minds. We have to develop and build more of a kesher with Hashem. Then davening will flow naturally. How can I not daven to Hashem? How can I not have a deep relationship with Hashem when I feel Him in my life? So the Rambam's teaching us something so sweet and so beautiful about mezuzah, about something that's so part of our life, but we're ignoring. Every time I pass mezuzah, whether you kiss mezuzah, you don't kiss mezuzah, think about the oneness of Hashem, think about Hashem in my life. You know what type of different person I'm going to be? That's why the Rambam says, by Hilchos Mezuzah, Lihizoyer ben Mezuzah. Be very careful by Mezuzah, because it's that crucial, it's that important. So that's Mezuzah. What about Chanukah Menorah? Listen to Neir's Chanukah. Listen to the Lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah. This is Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis. Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis. I know some of you are thinking, okay, 412, what's that? Don't think it's nothing. Everything's something. Everything's deep, everything's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every little thing in life. So just like the mezuzah, because it's so special, and the yisod of is going to be 613 in the Rambam. So here it's 412, right? Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis. So thinking, why? Because we're talking about Neir Chanukah. 412 is exactly Gematria Bayis, our home. Neir Chanukah is Neir Ishu Beis, so it's lighting up our home with Ruchnias. So of course the Ikar Rambam in Neir Chanukah, and we'll read in a minute while you'll see this is the Ikar Rambam of all Neir Chanukah, it's going to be Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis. Now I have no idea, and I will never know if the Rambam thought like that. But it doesn't matter if the Rambam thought like that or not. The Rabbanu Shalom thinks like that. And the Rambam might not have even known what he was doing, and the Rabbanu Shalom made sure that we're going to think like that. Everything in Torah is like this. The deepest of deep. You don't find this in worldly knowledge. So the Rambam says like this. Listen closely. Mitzvahs ner perek dal and halacha yid beis. Mitzvahs ner chanukah mitzvah chaviva hi ad me'od. Here's what's a very beautiful lashon you don't find. The mitzvah of ner chanukah is a very beloved mitzvah. It's an amazing mitzvah. It is a beloved mitzvah, right? It's a very beloved mitzvah. Who doesn't like Chanukah licht? Even by the biggest chilonim. Don't keep Shabbos, don't keep Yom Kippur. Of course they're going to put the Chanukah licht up. Of course they're going to have, even if it's an electric menorah, they're going to have it. You can't not have Chanukah. And listen to the Lashon, just like we just read by Mezuzah. V'tzarech Adam lihizor ba. Same Lashon. I'm telling you, it's very rare in the Rambam. You have to be careful about it. Kidei lahodia hanes, so we make known the miracle, ula host, and listen to the name. So know about the miracle of Chanukah? Ula hosif b'shevach hakel. And to add on to praising Hashem, v'hodia lo al nitzim sh'asu lanu. And to give thanks on the miracles that He does for us. So here it's another step, a different step. The ikkar here is not just to recognize, it is to recognize the miracle Hashem did for us, but then to give thanks to Hashem. That's the Zahiris here. How important it is to give thanks to Hashem. Do we thank Hashem enough? Do we thank Hashem enough in our life? Hashem does everything for us. We have nothing without the Ribbono Shel. Nothing. We all in this room, Baruch Hashem, we have our eyesight, we have the ability to see. Kenainara. The ability to see. The ability to see is priceless. Priceless. Ability to speak, priceless. To hear, priceless. Obviously, life itself. Priceless. These are priceless that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. It's priceless. Lo aleinu, God forbid, somebody had an issue with their eyes, and it was a very serious machla, and he went to the doctors, and they said, there's only one procedure, it's going to cost $5 million. And you're not a family that's very wealthy. It would mean all of your money, plus raising tons of money, plus your parents wouldn't make sure that you get that surgery and raise all that money? Of course they would. They'd sell their house, they'd sell everything they have, because it's priceless. The ability to see. Do we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu enough for all that He does? how important it is that we give a karsa tov to Hashem, that we recognize all that Hashem does for us. And now we see from these two Rambams, and maybe what pshat is as follows, listen closely. The idea of walking into our bias between our mezuzah and our menorah. As I walk into my house every night of Chanukah, I'm surrounded by the mitzvah that the Rambam says brings me to the oneness of Hashem, to recognize all that Hashem is to me and does for me. But then I realize as well, I look to my left and see the menorah that I have to give thanks for all that. And they have to go be synthesized. You need the duality of the two. It's not enough just to know what Hashem does without giving Akar Zatov. And to give Akar Zatov without recognizing all He does, you're not going to give any type of real Akar Zatov. I walk in between the mezuzah and the menorah, and I have the yesodos of life, mamish, the foundations of life as what it is to be an Eved Hashem. Not all the details. I'm not talking about all 613 details, which, by the way, are crucial and important. But the fundamental foundations. Listen to the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam, a very famous Rambam. You've learned this Rambam before, I'm sure. I'm sure all of you have learned this Rambam before. It's very connected to Chanukah in other ways. Later on in this Ramban, I'm sorry, not Rambam, now we're back, in the Ramban. The last Ramban in Parshas Bo. You know this Ramban. I know you know this Ramban. It's very famous for sure for Chanukah, but not for the part we're going to read. The famous part of this Ramban is where he talks about the Nisim Gluyim, reminding us of Nisim Nestarim. The revealed miracles remind us of the hidden miracles. But earlier in that piece, he says as follows. He talks about mezuzah. He says, Ki akona mezuzah, bezuz. A person who purchases a mezuzah with a zuz, with an amount of money. Bezuz echad, with one zuz. V'kavo b'pasko, and he puts it up on his house. You're admitting to the newness of the world. You're admitting that God created the world by putting a mezuzah up. And you know that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu and He's watching over us every moment. That's what the mezuzah represents. And you're admitting to belief in prophecy. You're believing in all parts of the Torah. He goes on and on. And he goes on. Lefikach amru havei zor b'mitzvas kalak v'chamura shekulam chamudus v'chavivos ma'od. You have to be careful in every single mitzvah. The ones that we perceive as smaller, the ones that we perceive as bigger, they're all precious and beloved to Hashem. Shebechol shah adam mode behen lelokov. Call mitzvah sheneman belokenu v'nodai lav. And listen to that lashon. Whenever we're performing these mitzvahs, and he's talking specifically about mitzvahs and mezuzah here, you're neman belokenu, you're believing in Hashem, v'nodai lav, and you're also nodim, lashon modet, lashon hodah. You're knowing, but also giving. You need to give thanks to Hashem. Shehu bareinu, He's our creator. V'ikavanas hayetzira, that's the whole purpose of our creation. Shein lanu tam echer b'yitzir arishona. There's nothing else. There's no other reason we're created. Sheyada adam v'yoda lelokav. But to know about Hashem and to thank Hashem. That's what it's all about. Meaning it's all about mezuzah menorah. It's all about Tuesday night walking into our bias and looking at our mezuzah on the right and the menorah on the left. And even if you don't have a menorah now we'll understand this. Maybe it's good to put one outside if you could. Just pnimius to remember this. Because there has to be, and what that really is, I'd like to suggest, what that really tells each and every one of us, it's a message of both passive and active emunah. Passive and active emunah, meaning what? Let's be real, we all believe in Hashem. We all believe in Hashem as Bari Alam of the creator of the world. We believe in Hashem that He's watching over us. We believe in Hashem that He's watching and cheshbening all that we do. But do we act like that always? Do we live our life like that always? Do I have the bitachon in every moment like that? Because if I did, I wouldn't have a moment when I'm ever sad in life. I'd understand. Kol ma'adav rechman al-tavav, and everything Hashem does is for good. Everything. Not some things. Everything. Kol ma'adav rechman al-tavav. So if I really lived with Hashem by my side every day, I'd be walking around like Rav Meir Goldwicht. Right? You ever knows Rav Meir Goldwicht? You ever see him not smiling? Have you ever seen him not with the biggest smile in the world? You can't catch him without the biggest smile in the world. I want to ask his Rebbetzin when they go to sleep at night what he looks like when he's sleeping. In the morning, he has to be that he... Why does he walk like that? You think he doesn't have nisyonos in his life? And not that I know, I'm just saying, I assume everybody, no one doesn't have the pekalach. No one doesn't have the nisyonos. So how does he walk around like that? Because he's walking with the Rabbi Nishalom. So it's not just passive emunah, it's active emunah. And that's through not just believing in it, but giving thanks for it. Giving hodah. It's this synthesis of the mezuzah and menorah, but not just doing it, but pnimius understanding it. As we said, the chilonim, they also do menorah. And by the way, they also put up mezuzahs. But it's all the chitonis and the exterior. We need a pnimius connection, a deeper connection, an understanding like we're talking about tonight. Sometimes it's hard to say thank you. It's hard to really say thank you. You know, there was a song, I'm sure most of you have heard it at some point, maybe it's back in years ago, it was in my youth, by a band, Chicago. Whoever knows the band Chicago, it's an older band. That a song, it's hard for me to say I'm sorry. Very beautiful song. It's true, Taka, true. It's sometimes very hard to say I'm sorry. Of the hardest two words in the English language is I'm sorry. It's hard. Admit that you did wrong and to really sincerely say I'm sorry. Not just I'm sorry to get the person off your back and to try to move on, but like really mean it. It's hard to say I'm sorry. It's also hard to say thank you. To really say thank you. You know why? You know, sometimes you'll see, I'll give you a lamushal in shul. Maybe if you remember when you were little girls, goes back because now you won't see it. Well, no, but there are candy men in most shuls, right? You have the local candy man. And so little kids come over to get candy from the candy man in shul. And mamish, 9 out of 10 don't say thank you. I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 they say, take and walk away. Maybe at the beginning they say good Shabbos, because before they want to get the candy, so they have to be nice. The minute they get the candy, boom, they're out of there. Now some, maybe 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10 that have amazing parents and trained them and taught them and made sure. And even those, usually they'll go to the parent and the parent say, did you say thank you? And then they'll go back and say thank you. First time they didn't. And sometimes the parent will be pushing the kid, go say thank you. It's so hard. No. He's like looking to get out. And why is that? Why is it hard to say thank you? Why is it hard for us to say thank you to Hashem as much as we... should. Well, part of that with Hashem is because we don't think about Him enough, as we just explained. But once we're Mekayim Mezuzah and we're thinking about Hashem, then we still have to say thanks to Hashem. Rav Hudner explains as follows. You know why it's hard to say thank you? Hodah means thank you. But the word Hodah could also mean, in Lashon of, in Gemara often you have this, of you Hodah's Baldin. Hodah's Baldin is where you have someone, let's say, in court, and he owes someone money. And he admits that he owes money. Hodas baldin means I admit that I owe you something. A thank you and the word admit in Hebrew is the same word. Hodas thank you, hodas admit. In order to say thank you, you're admitting that I'm dependent on you. You're admitting that you did for me. That's hard. We all want to be independent. We don't want to be dependent on others. And to admit that we rely on you so much, that I have nothing without you. To admit that I'm nothing. For this little kid... You know, this little kid, there's nothing more chashev than a piece of candy. Like, it's the most chashev thing in the world. That's mamish diamond earrings. Diamond earrings is a Laffy Taffy for a little kid. I get you offer literally $25,000 diamond earrings to a 2-year-old girl or a Laffy Taffy, they'll chuck the diamond earrings and take the Laffy Taffy. It's amazing. It's incredible. Mamish, like mamish. Maybe they'll look at diamonds for a second because they look pretty and then throw them and Laffy Taffy. This is my whole life. Like, there's nothing more chashev to a Laffy than a Laffy Taffy. So, that candy man just gave them the greatest thing in the world. By saying, thank you, I'm dependent on you for the most important thing in the world. It's hard to do. That's hard to do. So each and every one of us have to understand first. First is mezuzah. First is realizing everything is from Hashem. First is recognizing everything we have is for Hashem and thinking about Hashem so much more in our lives. And now that we learned this Rambam, hopefully every time we pass the mezuzah, we can think, just stop for a second. What an amazing, our lives could change from tonight if we start doing that and start bringing Hashem into our lives and thinking about Hashem. It could be an incredible opportunity. But it's not enough just to think about Hashem. Now we have to also thank Hashem proactively. And that's what it is, the Chanukah Menorah. As the Rambam says, Hakel Vodiyah Lo. To thank Him for the Nisan, to thank Him for the everyday miracles of our lives. We have to thank Him just because a candle lasted 8 days, and I don't have to thank Him that I woke up this morning? What do you mean, Rabbi? I do. You say the words. Do you mean it? Do you think it? B'pnimis Halev, did you say those words? You have to admit and understand and then give that Hakaras HaTov and say thank you. Hodah. Like Leah finally did by her fourth child, which is Yehuda. Finally, by her fourth child, she says, thank you. Why not by the first child, Reuven? You know the tzchus? You know the amazing miracle of every child? I'll never forget, I tell this to every chassan before they get married to kallahs. It's Shem B'zoicha to each and every one of you in the right time. Now, the tzchus to meet with chassan and kallahs before the chasna. Don't forget it, Bez Hashem, one day. Shataiva. One of the things I tell them is how important, how special being under that chuppah, the kirva, the closest to Hashem at that moment. The Shekhinah is there, you really feel it. I remember like yesterday being under my chuppah. It's my mishol almost 18 years ago. Yeah? Yeah, almost 18 years ago. I don't want to get that one wrong. Bez Hashem, March, Adar, it's going to be 18 years. Chai. 17 is good also. 17 is gematria tov. So it's good. We're at a good point. We're at a great point. I love Baruch Hashem. I have the greatest marriage in the world. But Lamaisa, under that chuppah, I remember feeling the closest to Hashem, the tefillos of that moment. It was like nothing else. I tell that every chazan and kala to grab onto that. That was only superseded, that was only passed over by the birth of my first son. Being mamish, the birth of Shmuel Yaakov, of my Bechar. You feel the presence of Hashem like it's incredible. I mean, you see Hashem in front of your eyes. What is Hashem? He's the Bar Alma. And you see creation. You see a little baby. It's like mind-boggling. You can't not admit to the oneness and the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's crazy to feel that close to Hashem. Bez Hashem, b'shatov, each and every one of you. So Leah didn't say Hodah till the fourth son. You gotta have a fourth son to give Hodah. So as Rashi explained, we all know it. Because Leah had Nevuah and knew that there were going to be 12 Shvatim and knew there were going to be 4 wives. 12 divided by 4, that's pretty easy math, we could all do it, right? 3 children, if it would be proportional, every wife would have 3 children. So she had thought, for sure she's having 3 children. She believed it was coming her way. She has a fourth child. Shenatalti Yoiser Michalki. Rashi there says, "Shenatalti yoisi michalki." I took more than my lot, more than I thought was coming my way, more than was my portion. Now I have to give thanks, which tells us it's such a psychological idea and understanding of when we give thanks. When we think something's coming our way, when we think we're deserving of something, then we don't give proper thanks. We get home and there's dinner at home. Our mother made us dinner. So yeah, of course we might ad lib say the words, "Thank you, mommy." Do we really give a serious, real Hakaras HaTov? No, we think that that's what she's supposed to be doing. Anyone here ever thank their parents for sending them to yeshiva and literally half of their income having to go to yeshiva? Anyone ever give a thanks? No, because you think it's coming your way. It's not, what do you mean? That's obviously they're going to, right? Have you thanked your parents? You wore a nice dress, this Shabbos Kodesh, and your mother went and bought it for you? Did you thank you? Yeah, when you got it, he said, thank you, ma, whatever. Did you really thank her? Chvestus, you went and bought a $1,000 dress for Shabbos, but okay, of course, she's my mother. She's going to buy me Shabbos clothing. Like, we take it for granted. We take it all for granted. We take it all for granted. We have to rethink how we think and start to appreciate all that comes our way from our parents, from those in our life, and ultimately from the Eibishter. And so when we recognize everything the Eibishter gives us is Yosi Michalki, I wake up in the morning, thank you so much Hashem for waking me up again. And by the way, not only is this Yesod of life, you'll be a much happier person. Why are people not besimcha in life? When are you not besimcha? When something bad happens, when you don't, and you, so therefore you think, look, well, something little happens in your life that's bad, so suddenly your whole world has fallen apart, and life is bad. So, I don't know, you get a bad mark on a test, so that you're down, and you're out, and you're sad. Lamaisa, you have your health, you have an amazing family, you have everything you need in life, you have Baruch Hashem, everything that's important in life, but one little test you didn't do well, I'm so sad, I'm depressed, I'm down. Because my whole focus, I'm only focused on that one little black dot in my life. I'm going out with a guy, and I went out to Chvesnish for a few times. I thought it was going well, and there's a month in, and then he broke up, and I'm destroyed. But Baruch Hashem, you're an amazing person. You have amazing kochos. You're smart. You're wonderful. You're full of midas tovos. You have, Baruch Hashem, a great family. You have a great future. You have everything good in your life. Okay, don't you realize also, kol ma'ad v'ruach ma'ad tav avid? This wasn't the right person for you. Wasn't who's going to be ultimately the best for you. I'm fine, I'm good, I'll move on. Meaning what? But listen, so let's rework that. If we start to appreciate more all that Hashem does for me, if I start to say thank you throughout my day, if I start to really live with Hashem in my life, like a mezuzah, and then with the menorah of giving thanks, so throughout my day I'm giving thanks, all day I'm thinking about all that Hashem does for me. A little thing happens to me, I'm going to get upset. I'm overly thankful for all that's good in my life. I'm going to walk around besimcha every moment. It's the key to happiness is gratitude. If you read, by the way, in the secular world, any book or any article on happiness, it's all going to be based on gratitude. Oh, that's all they know. Which is MS. We know it. We don't need secular books to tell us this. We have Torah to tell us this. That's why we're called Yehudim. Of all the names of the Shvatim, we're called Yehudim. We're not called Ruvaniums. Face the shadow, it sounds a little strange, right? But because we're not used to it, so it sounds strange. But if we were all called, Shimonians, I don't know, whatever it would be, we're Yehudim. Yehudim, because that's our essence. If we start to learn how to give thanks, and Chanukah is the place we have to begin, as the Rambam's telling us. Chanukah is l'hoidos l'halel. And giving, what does it mean to give thanks? Again, first and foremost, we have to bring Hashem into our lives. Look at that mezuzah. Remember, Hashem's in our life. What does it mean to give thanks? Obviously, it's in tefillah. Obviously, it's more kavanah and abodim. But it's more than that. I'm going to tell you something else. Thanks. You know, there's a famous, in a couple parashiyos, we have the famous storyline. These parashas are all so great. Isn't it awesome living through Bereishis? Mamish, it's awesome living in Bereishis. Best time of the year. Every Shabbos, Mamish, to read through such a parasha and being enthralled and inspired by these parashas and these stories that, yeah, we've learned a million times, but each year you can see such depth and such beauty. It's amazing. So in a couple parashas, we're going to get to a whole famous time, right? We already saw this week's parasha. Yosef HaTzadik is thrown into a pit, is sold away, and can't imagine how Yaakov felt. His love, his son, his Ben Zakunim, for 20 years, no idea, thinks he's dead. 20 years. And then finally, we'll get there. Hold on. Sorry for spoiling the end, I'm sure, you know. Sometimes you're living through the parashas, you want to just live within the moment, but we'll give it away over here. And in 2 more weeks, we're going to see them reunited. And Yaakov and Yosef HaTzadik, imagine what that moment in time must have been. Wouldn't you want to be there? Could there have been a more emotional moment in all of history? Imagine what was. Yaakov Avinu, he waited for Rachel Imenu, and he waited, and finally gets a Rachel Imenu, and then he waited for Rachel to have a child, and finally has a Yosef HaTzadik. For 20 years, he thinks he's dead and finally reunited. We can't, Mamish, there's no understanding, no Havana, what that moment should have been. But Chazal teaches us something that's mind-boggling, and you all know it. The moment they meet up, so we find in the Pasuk, Yosef HaTzadik crying on his father's shoulder, tears streaming down his cheeks. And what's Yaakov Avinu doing? It doesn't say Yaakov's crying or hugging his son. Yaakov Avinu, Rashi points it out, saying Kriya Shema. Yaakov Avinu is saying Kriya Shema. At that very moment, Yaakov Avinu, be a little bit normal. Give your son a hug. Cry a little bit. Let's be real. You had to. That's the best time. You have to say Kriya Shema at that moment. Like, really? Now's a good time. You're picking to say Kriya Shema? Oh, but it was Nate's. Sunrise. Yaakov, Chassid Shebechidim. Shkoyach. You're going to say Kriya Shema in a few minutes. This is your son. 20 years you haven't seen him. Hug him, kiss him, cry on his shoulder. You had to say Shema now. There are a lot of amazing, amazing answers. I have so many ahead right now. I'd love to share Bez Hashem for another time. But the Maral says as follows. Maral says, Mamish Yaakov was filled with so much emotion at that moment. And of course he's going to hug his son and cry with his son. But first and foremost, how can you not be thankful to Hashem for that moment? He wasn't just saying Shema because he had to say Shema every day. It was a Shema of Akar Satov, of Hodah, of Shevach, of praise of Hashem. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkin, Hashem Echad. You're one, you're everything in my life. Thank you, Hashem, for this moment before I hug my son. The Eibishter. It was living in that moment. It was his Hodah of that moment. So then you could ask, if that's true, Maral, that's a beautiful idea. We'll take it. That makes sense. So then why wasn't Yosef doing the same? Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik. You shouldn't be thankful to Hashem as well first? Why is it okay for you to be hugging and kissing and crying with your father? You'll do that in a minute. First, say Shema with your father. Say Hashem. Thank Hashem first. So the Birchas Peretz, the Stipler Gaon, he explains as follows. He says, for 20 years, Yosef HaTzadik wasn't able to do a mitzvah. For 20 years, he wasn't able to mekayim the mitzvah of Kivud Aveim. And he sees his father for the first time. To cry and hug his father was not just out of emotion, but it was a key mitzvah of Kivud Aveim, to show him that respect. And the Birchas Peretz, I think, I didn't look it up this week, it's the old Torah I learned. I think he might say it, or if not, my take on it. But ultimately, there's no greater akar satov to Hashem. There's no greater hodah than following his mitzvahs. And that's his way of showing akar satov to Hashem. I want to do whatever you want from me, which is to show kivud aveim to my father. Meaning what? We learned such a deep message from this as well. Vada to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say thank you in our own words, to David Hashem. But you know the greatest way to thank Hashem for all that He does for us is to follow Torah mitzvahs in the proper way, because that's what He wants from us. That's how we show the appreciation for all He does for us. That's our avodah. Our avodah to bring Hashem into our lives with the mezuzah and learn and look at that menorah every night and recognize the menorah as a symbolism of Hodah. To thank Hashem for the story of Hanukkah, for all He did for us, but to thank Hashem always. To ingrain that in our hearts, not just lighting a menorah for 8 days. Leave an imprint of hadah, of thanks to Hashem. And you'll see how much happier you'll be, what kind of life we'll be living. Let me just end with a story. I happened to just read this week, just Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything like we said with the Rambams, everything's Yad Hashemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings me this story to read this week. I'm going to read it to you. See it all come together in a certain sense. And see the power of the mezuzah and the menorah. It's by a man, Brian Silvey. To appreciate the victory of the Jewish revolt against Syrian Greeks, it's important to recognize that our enemies attacked us on a spiritual front. The Greeks wanted their culture to reign supreme, and that necessitated abolishing the strongest compelling culture in human history, Judaism. Thus, the Greeks sought to uproot the study of Torah, observance of mitzvot, and our distinct Jewish identity. I can relate to this dynamic in my own life. The Hebrew school I attended taught me how to read Hebrew, to say Shema, and that a mezuzah is placed on the doors of Jewish homes. I remember one Hebrew school project when I made a mezuzah by writing Shema onto a rolled up piece of paper, placing it into a decorative case, but with no deeper explanation. That was the extent of my education regarding mezuzot. Many years later, I was a college student and joined a fraternity. None of the other members were Jewish, but they were aware that I was Jewish. At our school, members of the fraternity often lived together by renting a house near the campus. Religious Jews owned many of these houses, as evident by the mezuzahs affixed on the doorpost. I recognized those little boxes, but paid them little attention. One night at a fraternity party, I noticed two fraternity members intentionally pry a mezuzah off the doorpost. I followed them around the house and realized they were collecting the mezuzahs as they moved from doorpost to doorpost. I followed them into a room and watched them remove the scrolls from the decorative casing. They opened the scrolls, tried to read the writing, and then crumpled the scrolls up in their hands and tore some in half. The small spark of Judaism inside me made me feel obligated to stop them. "Why did you take those off the doorpost?" I asked. "I don't know," one of them answered. "We just want to see what's inside." "You should have left them where they were. You're not supposed to take them down." "Well, what are they?" "It's called a mezuzah, and they go on the doorposts of Jewish houses." "Why?" he asked. I was stunned into silence and then admitted, "I don't know." As these words slipped from my mouth, I could feel the strength of my position weakening. "Well, what's written inside them?" His tone of voice showed genuine interest, but it clearly put me on the defensive. Again, I responded, "I don't know." They continued with a stronger tone of expectation. "Well, why are they on every door?" "I don't know." They looked at me with scorn, and finally one of them said, "Well, if you're the Jew and you don't know, then why should we care?" This question was shocking and painful. Perhaps intensified by my intoxication, I continued arguing with them and demanded they give me the mezuzahs. Finally, one of them walked out of the room and returned with a handful of mezuzah cases and scrolls. He looked at me, grinned maliciously, and said, "You want them so badly? Come and get them." And he threw the handful of mezuzahs into a burning fireplace. I was shocked. It took but a few seconds for the mezuzahs to be consumed in the flames. I walked into the house dejected and heartbroken. I sat down in the cold night and replayed the incident over and over in my mind, each time coming back to the same painful question. If you're the Jew and you don't know, then why should we care? This incident ignited my curiosity and became the catalyst for my road back to Torah and Judaism. Today I now realize, every word of Torah we learn, every mitzvah we perform is an extension of our victory over the Syrian Greeks. They tried to destroy our connection to God and His Torah, but instead they ignited a deeper flame inside us. As we light the Chanukah menorah, may the flames inspire us to carry on the victory of the Maccabees, the victory of Jewish survival, Jewish education, and Jewish pride. For this young man, the chizik of his life that brought him back to where all of us are and want to continue to be, it was the koyach of the mezuzah. But it was interesting. I was just thinking about the story. It was lo aleinu rachman al-tlan, we shouldn't know from it, but mezuzah being burnt up in a fire. And the menorah is a fire. And that's what ignited his neshama. And every time we walk past that doorway and see our mezuzah, we have to ignite the feelings of emunah and oneness of Hashem and think about Hashem and bring Hashem back into our lives. And every time we look at the menorah, and whether it's opposite that mezuzah or it's in our home when we walk in, we have to remember of not just believing and thinking about Hashem, but giving thanks to Hashem for all that He does for us. Vez Hashem is Baruch, we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're not just living our lives as rote, mechanical, Orthodox Jews, but we're thinking about Him all the time and we're thanking Him all the time. We're bringing Him into our lives and living with Hashem. We'll be Zeicha, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring His Shechina back with us. Just as Chanukah is a zman of celebrating that we got back into the Beit HaMikdash, we revitalized the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash. We'll be Zeicha to buy Shlishi with Mashiach Tzidkenu. Everyone should have a lichtige, beautiful Chanukah, full of simcha, full of bracha.